Parshas Behar, Rashi begins, famous Rashi, Ma'in Shmita Etzel Har Sinai, and Rashi goes on to explain that just as Shmita, all of its mitzvahs, all of the proteha, all of the intricacies were mentioned by Har Sinai, so were all mitzvahs. And many of the Mefarshim ask, why Dafka did Rashi pick on Shmita? Why did he have to talk about Shemitah, that just as by Shemitah, all of the Proteha was mentioned, so many other mitzvahs? So Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zichron Tzadik, Bekadosh Bracha, answers very beautifully. Explains, Shemitah is a halacha that you really cannot understand. It's not sichlius. We do the Shemitah, the idea of Shemitah is that you're mekayim the mitzvah. Here is a mitzvah that has no rationale behind it other than the Kadosh Baruch Hu told us that you have to observe Shemitah. It is true, there are those who want to explain. Rambam has a line that also talks about this to say that it's good for the Adama. But all of the rewards that you get from Shemitah obviously is not something which is a sichlius. There was a difference between the mitzvos that were given to Klal Yisrael prior to Har Sinai and after the Har Sinai had to be repeated. And why is that? So many of the Mefarshim explain that the reason Rav Moshe brings this down is that before Har Sinai, the rationale was mitam sichlius. Most of the mitzvos for the avos and everyone's understanding it that you were mekayim it because it made sense. It made sense, the sikh is rational, this is how a person should act. But those same very mitzvahs, when you post Har Sinai, the reason why we are mekayim those mitzvahs is not because of the rationale, but because of Kadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvah. It says, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu. V'tzivanu is the essence of our performing of mitzvahs. Heard a beautiful story by the Chafetz Chaim to understand. He was once driving in a wagon, and the student pays the wagon driver. After his Chafetz Chaim says, what were you thinking about when you gave him the money? He says, what was I thinking about? I was thinking about giving him money. That's all. Decided I had to give him something, so I gave him the money. Chafetz Chaim says, no. That's not what you should think. You know how many mitzvahs you're makayim, you have to pay a person right away, etc., etc. Even when we're doing Maisa HaMitzvahs, they're sichlius. What we're doing it is for the purposes of the Kadosh Baruch Hu was Mitzavos. I think there's a much deeper idea to explain behind this Rav Moshe Feinstein. Those of us who are learning Daf Yomi, so right now we're talking about the mitzvahs of Parah Adumah, mentioned on the Daf. And Parah Adumah, Rav Soloveitchik asked, and I heard this from Rabbi Rosner who explained it, but that the Rav had asked, why is it that Parshas Chukas is found where it is? It's after all of the discussions of the second year of Klal Yisrael being in the Midbar, and it was right after the Machlokas of Korach, and it's right before Misas Miriam. It takes place 38 years later. The Rav explained, you have to imagine those 38 years. 38 years in the Midbar. We don't know what happened. There's no story. There's no Midrashim. What were they doing? All we knew is that every Tisha B'Av they would dig a grave. And people would lie in the grave overnight. And those who would get up, so it went on for another year, and those who didn't, we buried them. That was it. Can you imagine the life of 38 years? You're not listening to, you're not hearing the word of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Can you imagine all of those 38 years, what people were thinking? How could they have gone on in their march towards Eretz Yisrael, living at this time of thinking that Kadosh Baruch Hu has forgotten them? Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't having conversations with the Kadosh Baruch Hu during these 38 years. So I believe what the Rav was saying is that it was at this moment. There was no greater tragedy in human history, in the human mind, in the human life, than the end of life. It is that moment in life when you question the Devishta upon the loss of a father, or a mother, or a brother, or a sister, the loss of a Rebbe, the loss of famous individuals, the loss of those people who help you to get through life. At that very moment is when you're questioning the Eibishter. How is it possible? And there's only one way, that tumah, that impurity, which comes into our hearts, is that it has to be done, the parah adumah has to be done, has to be completed by a person who's purely tahar. What does that mean, tahar? Tahar to understand, ze hayom asah Hashem, this day God made. There are days that are beautiful. There are days that are gorgeous. There are days you walk outside, perfect weather, the smells of the flowers, and you look around and you say, Zeh hayom asah Hashem, nagila v'nismachavo. And then there are days, Zeh hayom asah Hashem. There are days of tragedy, the days of loss, the days of pain. Two, you have to say, nagila v'nismachavo. The Jew always has to realize everything is Ma'es Hashem. It's a story of the Kloisenberg Rebbe, and I just heard this beautiful story. But the father of Rav Arsha Weiss, he was in the camps, and the Kloisenberg Rebbe, he was that individual in the camps who was always trying to push, help every single Jew, never to be miyayish. They say that the first Yom Kippur, after they were freed, they were still in the whatever camps they were, the Kloisenberger Rebbe gets up and he says, what are we going to say? Ashamnu, Bagadnu, Gozalnu, what are you going to say? We were over any of these Yisurim? In Bergen-Belsen and Auschwitz? We were over these Yisurim? How could you say we're over the Zesurim? So what are we saying tonight? The Kloisenberger Rebbe says, you know what, Isser? We were miyayish. We gave up. We gave up. Okay, we can understand, and only the Kloisenberger Rebbe can say this. An amazing life that he lived. He lost the Holocaust. He lost his whole family, his wife and 11 children. 10 children were killed, and the 11th child died afterwards. Then he rebuilt his life. Only the Kloisenberger has the right to say this. But that's what he was saying. Never to me miyayish. So Rav Arsha Weiss says, unbelievable story. I heard this, I started to cry. Rav Arsha Weiss said that his father was in the camps with the Kloisenberger Rebbe. You know, the Rebbe of Rav Arsha Weiss is the Kloisenberger. And they were digging graves, whatever they were doing, and everyone is weak, and his father was starting to be miyayish. Started giving up, he was giving up in life. He just couldn't take the pain anymore. And the Kloisenberger Rebbe turned to him and he said, let me ask you a question. What can I do in order for you not to be miyayish? What can I do to help you out? What bracha do you need? And Rav Arsha Weiss's father said to him, give me a bracha that my child should grow to be Meir Torah l'chol olam kula. And I won't be miyayish. The Kloisenberger Rebbe gave him that bracha. And we know Rav Arsha Weiss. We know that everyone heard Rav Arsha Weiss is his Torah, his halacha, his tshuvas, his Torah, everything, all the drushas, is meir kol ha'olam kulo. Because his father wasn't miyayish. And why wasn't he miyayish? The Kloisenberger Rebbe was saying, ze hayom asah Hashem, I don't know why, I can't understand it. Now, gilu v'nismach avol, because you have to believe it, kol me'es Hashem. Soloveitchik, famous machlokas between the Rambam, the Ramban, with tefillas, is a daraisa every single day. And you know the Rambam says, yes, every single day is a mitzvah daraisa, and the Ramban says, no, only be'esara. And the Rav explained that, of course, that the Rambam agrees with the with the Ramban. However, the Rambam also understands the precariousness of life. Every moment in life can make a turn to change. And therefore, you always be Esar. You always have to be concerned. Always Tfilas of the Raisa. This is Per Shabbos, I'm walking home from Mincha. A woman stops me, and I don't want to go into the whole story, but it's really a very difficult issue that she's going through. She's looking for help on something. She's walking me home, and I notice as I'm walking home, I'm having flashes outside of my left eye. Didn't think much of it. I'm going, I walk into Chabad, I give a little Devar Torah at the Shal Shudas, and I speak to a doctor there afterwards. I just mention it, and he says, well, you should have it checked out. Maybe, we'll see. You know, if it doesn't go away, sure enough, the next day, I meet another doctor. He said, no, you have to go check it out. And they discovered that there was some kind of a tear in the retina. And I had to go for, emergency surgery. I don't know how much of an emergency, but I had to go for surgery in the eye. And after it finished a whole day, back and forth with this doctor, he finally says to me on the way out, by the way, this, for a week you shouldn't be reading. Shouldn't be reading? What do you mean shouldn't be reading? How can I not read? What are you talking about? I have to daven. I got to read my svarim. What do you mean I could be a week without davening, without reading? I mean, it's going to be so difficult. How does a person get through life without reading? You know, walk into my basement and look at all these svarim. This is my chevra, and I can't talk to any one of them. I can't take them off the wall. I can't read them. How do you expect to go through such a week? Work, etc. The precariousness of life, that something could change. You have to appreciate everything you have. Every day you have to appreciate the greatness, the goodness that the Kaddish Baruch Hu gave you. And also every day you have to understand that even the days of tragedy, even days of disappointment, even days when you feel that there's a clap, someone's hitting you. Zeh hayom asa Hashem. This is what God wants from you. The Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov was once asked, I don't understand, we heard that there's a Paschal coming from Shemayim. Paschal comes from Shemayim and says, every day Shuvah Bonim. He asked the Baal Shem, you ever hear this Paschal? I never heard this Paschal. If no one ever heard this Paschal, what's the purpose of having a Paschal if no one's hearing it? Baal Shem Tov answered beautifully. Of course there's a Paschal. Every day, you stub your toe, something goes wrong, so the Eibishter talking to you. He's giving you surin, or he's giving you hints. He's trying to get you back onto a certain derech. He's doing something in order to help you out on your derech. That's what Moshe was saying is, that's the essence. That's the essence of Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. When a person does something al-sichlius, he does something because of the rationale, he does something because, oh, so if I'm in the mood, I'm going to do it. If everything is working out for me, I'm going to be Oved Hashem. I wake up in a mood that's, oh, today I want to daven to the Eibishter. And sometimes you wake up, you're not in the mood. You still have to daven. And you should daven because you should understand all the good things that are happening to you. And even when they're not, you have to understand. Ze hayom asa Hashem, Nagila v'nismachavo. Good Shabbos.